You may go ahead and be seated. As we mentioned earlier, we have the Gideons with us today who will be sharing with us about the work that they are doing in our community and around the world, I suppose. And Brother John Powers was with us here last year. John, do you remember when we were here, when you were here last year? What month was it? Was it December last year?
We were here in March.
Okay, March. Earlier this year.
Yes.
That's right. So he's come and spoke to LCA as well and is lined up to come back again next month. So we appreciate him being here and look forward to what you have to say today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you again. I call your attention to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11. A favorite verse of the Gideon ministry because it describes God's word and how important it is to him. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth and will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I intended. Those are powerful words. I brought a video this morning, one of my very favorites. It's a testimony of a young man who found Jesus. He's talking to a Gideon audience. And I think you will enjoy his unique testimony.
So this is what you look like. As I sat at the back, I began to think of what the army of the Lord looks like. And I said, Lord, may I see a glimpse of it tonight? And here you are, precious in his sight. Tonight, no amount of words can express my gratitude and how I feel in my heart about each and every one of you. Because of you tonight, because of your compassion and your prayers and your generosity, I had been given the wonderful opportunity to have met Jesus. You see, friends, for millions of Muslims tonight, like I was, Jesus was just a prophet. But tonight, he's my Savior. Tonight, he's the lover of my soul. Tonight, he's my everything. I like to say that Jesus found me in my sin, black in darkness. He dipped me in crimson red, and now I'm white as snow. But it wasn't always that way. You see, I was born in the Republic of Guyana. You would know it by the name British Guyana, or you might know it by the incidents of Jim Jones. And in my home, we were all Muslims. My grandfather, like other religious men, would attend mosque on Fridays. And the rest of the days, he would live like a sinner. My father, as I grew up as a young boy, he was a drunkard. I remember many nights that we, my brother and I, would be in our rooms weeping as we would hear him beat my mom. One time I saw Daddy take my mom by the hair and dragged her down the steps backwards. It almost seems that when things got bad, it got worse. My parents filed for a divorce and my brother and I were split between two families. There, as I visited my daddy's family, he had an uncle that would sexually molest me. But somehow, God in his wisdom knew, and he had given me the wonderful opportunity to have come to Canada under an adoption process. While my brother and I came to Canada, or migrated to Canada, we began to attend a local junior school. And as we began to attend that school, it all somehow seemed to have accumulated into something that was overbearing. As we got to that school, we saw the young fellows there calling us all sort of names. They would ridicule us. They would use crude words against our cultural distinctive. But what these young fellows didn't know, that in my heart there was already so much pain and the wound was so great that one day I got sick and tired of it. And I'd gone back to my uncle's house. I got myself a knife from his kitchen drawer and I went back to that school. And at 3:10, when school was about to finish, I went back and I met that bully. He followed me out through the back door, and there I saw him, and I pulled the knife on him and I stuck it in his neck, and he began to cry for his life. I bring no glory tonight for my sin. I'm just here to tell you what God has done in my life. Things got worse. My brother and I got ourselves caught up in gang activities. Eventually, we were in and out of jail. Many charges had been laid to my account. One particular charge was the charge of attempted murder that was later dropped. But in the meanwhile, while I was sentenced for that charge, I was sent to a jail to do 1 year in prison. And while I got there, very few friends, very few relatives paid any interest. As a matter of fact, I'd heard all the things, the insensitive words that they would use. You good for nothing. You black sheep. You'll amount to nothing, they said. And one day, the warden called me and he said, you had a visit. And the visit came from an uncle who was a pastor. And when he came to that jail to see me, he asked if, do you have a Bible? And I said, no, I do not have a Bible. And so I saw him leave the waiting room and he had gone to the washroom. And I'm not exactly sure what Christians do in the washroom. I figured he probably knelt before the throne. But I saw him came and he had gone to the warden and there he got himself a Bible. And he brought it to me that day and he gave it in my hands and he said, Asif, do me one favor. I want you to read the book of John, the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And he said, son, guard it with your life. And that night, for the very first time, I took that Bible back to my room. And I'd never held a Bible in my entire life before. As a matter of fact, I didn't want anything to do with the Bible or Jesus. That night, I went to my room, and I'm not sure how you read your Bible, but at the very tender age of 17, I couldn't read and write properly because I was always in and out of jail, never got a chance to have a proper education. And I just did one of these, and I just opened my Bible. And there, I looked down upon the page, and it says this, for he looked down from the heights, from his holy heights, and from the heavens the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to see those who were doomed to death. And I got so angry at God, I said to him, where were you? Where were you when they were abusing me? Where were you when they were beating my mother? Where were you? Why do you show up now? I got so angry that night, I took the Bible and I flung it against the wall. And I thank God for these Gideon's Bible. They're really glued well. The next night I did the very same thing. I opened the Bible and I looked. And I saw the scripture and it says, oh, that I should have wings like a dove and fly away. And I looked to God and I said, God, do you see how high that fence is? Can I have those wings? Night after night, I would pick up this Bible. And I would read it. And God began to do something in my heart. I tell you here tonight, my friend, you do not understand how precious you are. You see, on the front of this Bible, it says, placed by the Gideons. And had you not tonight placed this Bible in the prison, I would not have the opportunity to know Jesus as my Savior. Had you not tonight, my friend, spent your life in placing Bibles in prisons and in hospitals, many of us tonight would not have come to know Jesus as our Savior. They've asked me, Asif, so what do you do now? Well, by God's grace, I've accepted the call to be an evangelist. My last crusade in India, I went to the state of Punjab. There we had a crusade where over 20-something thousand people attended. 80% of them in the 4 nights had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before or the whisper of his name. And every night, thousands and thousands came to know the Lord as Savior because one Gideon Bible was placed in a prison for a wretch like me. Friend, tonight I thank you. I thank you tonight. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you have sacrificed for my life. Thank you tonight for giving me life. Thank you tonight for giving me a wife that loves me. Thank you tonight for giving me hope in my heart. Thank you tonight for giving me back my family. Thank you tonight for healing me. Thank you tonight, my dear beloved. You cannot understand tonight how much you are cherished and how much you are loved by this soul. I pray tonight that God will richly bless every one of you and that you will continue to serve him and that you will continue to fulfill your ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Beloved, may God richly bless you tonight.
Just one Bible can do so much. Some of you may not have been here last time I was here, but just give you a little brief history of the Gideons. We've been pressing out Bibles for 109 years. Started with two Christian traveling businessmen who stayed in an overbooked hotel one time, and they found out they were both Christians, and they decided, hey, this would be a great way to get the gospel out to traveling salesmen, businessmen, and people. So they started by placing Bibles in hotels. Today we've got over 300,000 Gideons and their wives, auxiliary, placing Bibles in over 200 countries in over 100 languages, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In fact, in the middle of 2015, we gave out our 2 billionth Bible. That is a big number. But the most important thing is it had a chance to get this Holy Scripture out to a lost soul. You saw in the video how important that is. We continue to go into the prisons and jails and the schools and universities, hotels and motels, armed forces facilities, in all 53 different areas of distribution. And we are able to do so because of the generous prayers of people like you and the contributions of our churches. It is so important to us to carry out God's work. And you saw with Asif what happens when you do that. So we continue to do it. We just need your help and your prayers to be able to do it. And I just want to mention a little bit about our specific Bibles. You know, the Lord commanded us to go out to all nations and preach the gospel. And that's what we're helping to do. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In John 14:6, in Jesus' own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus must be your personal Savior. We have to be born again. And part of our mission is not only distribute Bibles, but also witness even for Jesus. The most important decision that anybody is going to ever make in their whole life is where they're going to spend eternity. And that is so important to us. So rest assured that we are doing that regularly, and we will continue to do it as long as the Lord is willing. So we continue to need your prayers. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our Bibles. The one that Steve was referring to is this Bible placed by Gideon's. I'm sure you've seen it in a hotel or a motel. In the front of each of our Bibles is a little section called Helps in Time of Need. Scripture is designed to maybe answer a question or a problem you may be having in your life. And in the back of our little testament, besides this help section, is God's plan for salvation. This is the one he's referring to, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. In the back There's a complete list of prayers and a way for you to find Jesus if you don't know him. And also in the front, there's a little thing. And once in a while, I go through this. And I was sitting here this morning, and I thought this would be very appropriate to read to you. This is in the front of all of our little testaments. And it says this. It shows you how powerful God's word is. It says, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened up to judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all those who trifle with its sacred contents. Pretty powerful statement about God's word. And that's what we do. That's what we're out there doing at your Gideon's. This morning, Pastor has been very gracious to let us come back. And he's also consented, if it's possible, for you to make a donation to us. Mike and I are going to be standing at the exits. We'll have an open Bible. And if you're in a position to make a contribution to us, we really would appreciate it. It goes a long way. All your contributions go towards the printing and distribution of Scripture. None of it goes towards the administration of this ministry. We're all volunteers, except for a few small staff in Nashville, Tennessee. We pay the dues, or dues pay, for the administrative costs of this ministry. So everything you do gets the chance to get into somebody's hand. And continue to pray for us. Well, we're fighting a changing culture. Many of the schools will not let us in. Here in Madison County, the schools have made it pretty clear that they don't want the Gideons in there. There's a real hostility. Satan is out there with his roaring lion head trying to shut us down. But we know he never will be able to do that because the Lord said that the gates of hell will never prevail against his church. So pray for us that we could continue to go into these different venues. And if anybody has any questions about our ministry, would like to talk to us, Mike and I will be available afterwards. I would be happy to answer any questions you might have. If anybody would be interested in maybe finding out about the Gideon ministry, we could use some folks. It's a professional businessmen's association, and if wives are eligible to be a part of the auxiliary, and we need some young guys. We've got too many old guys with gray hair. We need some young guys that don't dye their hair, so we could really use some help. So if you have any interest in that, we're going to be available. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Could you briefly share how to become a Gideon?
Well, we have an application form. We have some occupational requirements. A business owner, professional, teacher, somebody in the military. We're looking for people who can be pretty self-sufficient because we operate in some pretty remote areas. And if you're able to maybe help start a little Gideon camp somewhere, so it's somebody in business would probably have a real good chance of doing that, a small business person. But we would sure welcome the opportunity, so let us know if you would. Thank you, Pastor, for having us in today. We appreciate it very much. I hope you enjoyed the video.
Thank you, Mr. Powers.